This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Stearin, your state farm insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. And whew, the chill was in the air last night across the area as week 7 of the high school football season has come and gone. And we are 2 weeks away from the football playoff preview show, which this year has the teams trekking, hopefully, up to DeKalb.
It's not gone completely.
Northern
there are
Illinois
still
University.
Games today.
And there's still a few games today, yes.
Eight-man footballs today. We've got three in the area.
That's true. All three of the eight-man games are going. Marquette will be in action in week 7. But for the most part, week 7 has come and gone. So the football playoff preview show 2 weeks from today. We'll have that live at 8 o'clock, WSMI FM 106. That will come up on October the 26th. And, you know, the playoff picture starting to take a bit of a shape now. We've seen a number of teams get to that automatic win of 6. A number of teams have approached the playoff eligibility number of 5. And for Carlinville last night, they have gotten to back to 4-3 on the year after that 1-3 start, as they have beaten Staunton, they have beaten Gillespie, and they have beaten Hillsboro 3 weeks in a row to find themselves at 4-3. They will close the year on the road at Southwestern and at Litchfield, and it was impressive last night for the Carlinville Cavaliers as they beat Hillsboro 40-8. And in the process, Colton DeLong joined a pretty exclusive club in Carlinville football history, becoming just the 15th player to rush for 1,000 yards in a regular season. 252 yards last night on 31 carries. He's at 1,231 yards for the year. And Cavy head coach Chad Easterday joins us right now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing very well. And let's start right there with Colton DeLong. That's hats off to him. Only 15 players. Think about all the great players that Carlinville football has had. He's now the 15th to rush for 1,000 yards. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Tim, in our time together, I mean, we've seen it all. He's very elusive. He's been in the weight room. You know, he reached a milestone last night and is on a pretty exclusive list, as I just heard you say. So, you know, my hat's off to him. He does a great job. And, you know, we did a great job up front to help him. So I thought we had a complete ball game last night.
And, you know, we've been talking about your offensive line play here for the last number of weeks. And I mentioned in the broadcast last night, what you've done the last 3 weeks, that's why kids who are going to be offensive linemen play football. To get to basically be a road grader and just line up and smash people. And they know that the defense knows that we're coming at them, and they still can't stop them.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about us finding our identity throughout the course of this season and those types of things, and that's been a struggle. I mean, there's no hiding behind that. I mean, we've been up and down. We've tried many things, and to find what our identity is and that type of thing, and our guys have accepted this and moved on with it, and it's really been a unique experience, for lack of a better term, and they have adjusted and adapted and all those great things you can say. And, you know, I'm just very proud of our team for facing some adversity and really coming on and doing the right things.
I know a few weeks ago your kids, and really not fair to them at all, but they were feeling kind of some pressure, and I'm not going to say they were feeling heat from the community necessarily, but they understand the tradition and what is expected of Carlinville football. For them to respond like they have the last 3 weeks, for you as a coach, that really has to give you a sense of pride.
Wow, you said that so politically correct, Tim. That is amazing. So, you know, I mean, let's not hide behind it. Cardinville is a great community. It is one of the best that I've ever been around, and football is a very high priority here. And, you know, every senior that comes through here, I always challenge them to see what your staple or what your imprint or your footprint is going to be when you leave. And nobody wants to be that class that doesn't have a solid impact on that tradition. And obviously our start was not something that they wanted. And nor did our coaching staff. So, you know, my hat goes off to them because they were willing to let themselves be coached, let themselves, and a lot of them had a lot of personal sacrifice. And for that, I will be eternally grateful for them because they believed in us and they believed in Cardinville football. So, you know, you and I have talked. That's what tradition is. And I tell them all the time, I make this joke all the time that, you know, if it took my wife on the sideline to call plays to win, then I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do it in a heartbeat. And we kind of make fun of that a little bit, but I'm very proud of them because they are willing to make those sacrifices and do what's necessary.
And, you know, that's what makes a team. You have to be willing to sacrifice for the guy to your left and the guy to your right. If you're just worried about yourself, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. I mean, there are 10,000 analogies in the world. I've always quoted Steve Kimbrough. You know, the kids laugh at me all the time. They're like, hey, Coach, were you an athlete? And I'm like, no. You know, I said, well, you played on all these great basketball teams. I said, you know, I was a sixth man as a sophomore, and I was a sixth man as a senior. I said, Steve Kimbrough told me, I need 6 rebounds, throw it to the big kid inside for 10 assists, and do your job. And, you know, so they kind of poke fun at me for that. But, you know, you're correct. I'm very proud of them and would do anything for them because of the sacrifices they're willing to make.
You mentioned how you found your identity, you know, earlier this year. You're in your 12th year now. Was this really one of the first times where 3 or 4 weeks into the season where you basically had to kind of just restart and change what your philosophy was?
Sure. I don't know how I answer. I mean, I think every year is different. I think every we never approach it as a system of X's and O's. We've always been about kids, putting them in their best positions to win, and we would do any of that. So last year, everyone wants to quote the great things we did, and we did a phenomenally great things. We made matchups, and this year we look a little different. We make you cover 10 gaps, and you've got to line up correctly. I know I haven't listened to the broadcast yet. That's usually my afternoon adventures when I play the replay, but you know, a couple times we threw some really weird formations out there. Our kids knew what to do. They didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to adjust, and we took advantage of those things. So, you know, I think those are the things that makes our coaching staff proud of them because they are willing to accept and adjust and be coached and listen to game plans. And, you know, those life lessons for me personally are what it's for. That's what I do this for. It's great.
And last night, you know, we mentioned Colton DeLong joins the 1,000-yard club. But Colton Robinson had a real nice ball game for you last night.
Yeah, he did. You know, he's kind of coming to his own. He was a backup guard a year ago, and then 6 weeks ago he was still a backup guard. You know, we made some adjustments in the passing game that didn't work out the way it wanted, and then we kind of went to a power football game, and then we threw the ball a little bit last night. So, you know, he's got his niche going on there. I think he's understanding what's going on, and we'll do nothing but get better.
And, Chad, I'll end with this. Last night, obviously, you got a chance to get your second string in, and Mason Duckles made a bit of an imprint in that game last night late.
You know, he did. He did. He made a great play. He reacted on something. And, Tim, I'm just going to – and I don't want to talk in circles, but I think that goes back to our original comment. You know, those kids stand sometimes. They enjoy Monday nights, and they play hard. And I was very proud of the JV team that – you know, they haven't had some opportunities that maybe past teams have had, and they took their 7 minutes and made every bit of it worth it. And that's what builds tradition, and that's why I like Cardinville so much. So, you know, I'm biased. I bleed blue. You guys know that stuff. So,
sounds great. Chad Easton, today, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Chad Easton, today, the head coach of the Cardinville Cavaliers. 3 straight wins following that 3-game losing streak, and they will be at Southwestern, at Litchfield, to close out the regular season. You can find that ball game in a podcast right now, WQSMIRadio.com. Our second broadcast feature last night was Staunton at Greenville. That game also up online at WQSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We return following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. And coming up in a few moments, we're going to talk about this new football proposal that has been presented to the IHSA in response to the district proposal that, of course, passed last winter. And there you go. There's David's preview. He was subtle. He was subtle in his
thoughts.
We don't
need to talk about it. It's garbage. That's all you need to know.
He said it with all due respect.
Actually, I didn't.
Oh, that's right. You didn't. So we'll get into that. There's a lot to dissect with that new proposal. So we'll get to that here when Sports Saturday continues here on WQSMI FM 106. Let's run down some scores for you last night in the South Central. Carletonville beat Hillsborough 40-8. Greenville blanks Staunton 27-0. That clinches a berth in the playoffs for the Comets, eliminates Staunton. Roxana beat Gillespie 30-16. This was a big game. Gillespie came in 3-3. Roxana entered 2-4. So the Shells come away with the victory over the Miners. Pena and Vandalia both won. Pena beat Litchfield 61-6. The Vandals beat Southwestern 46-0. They are both still unbeaten, and they will play next week in Vandalia. In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac improves to 4-3. They beat Pleasant Plains 36-14. Auburn gets playoff eligible. They beat Riverton 61-7. Marrero Forsyth clinches a playoff spot. They beat Athens 21-7. Williamsville rolled over New Berlin 46-7. The Bullets looking awesome through 7 weeks this year. Porta, they beat Pittsfield 29-14. Just one game in the Prairie State last night. It was Wood River beating South Fork 66-6. Nokomis was out of conference last night. They beat Martinsville 55-0. So for Nokomis, they improved to 5-2 on the year, and they will be at Wood River next week. The Oilers sit at 4-3. That'll be one of our broadcast features next week on WQSMI FM 106. In the WIVC South last night, Greenfield Northwestern clinches a playoff spot. They shut out North Green 47-0. Carrollton beat Pleasant Hill 44-12. With that, the Hawks clinch a playoff berth here in 2019. And Calhoun beat West Central 26-7. In the WIVC North, Beardstown improves to 7-0. They dispatch Jacksonville Route 43-14. Camp Point Central has clinched a playoff spot as they survived Minden Unity 32-28, and Brown County picked up their fourth win of the year, beating Triopia by the final of 48-6. In the Mississippi Valley Conference, Civic Memorial now playoff eligible as Mike Parmentier's Eagles beat Waterloo 34-14. Muscoota beat Jersey 48-28. With the loss, Jersey eliminated from postseason play, and Highland over Triad 21-7. In the Central State 8, Glenwood and Rochester both won. Glenwood beat Normal U High 48-0. Rochester beat Springfield High 69-27. And they are scheduled to meet in week 9 in Glenwood to close out the regular year. Elsewhere in the CS 8 last night, Griffin over Eisenhower 68-32. Jacksonville beat Southeast 55-41. And MacArthur over Lanphier 40-7. In the Apollo Conference, Effingham beat Taylorville 48-6. Mount Zion over Lincoln 43-7. So Effingham and Mount Zion both 7-0. And Effingham will be on the road next week at Mount Zion. Elsewhere in the Apollo, Muhammad Seymour beat Charleston by the final of 20-12. In the Central Illinois Conference last night, Central A&M beat Clinton 42-6. St. Teresa over Sullivan Ocal Valley 56-6. So the Raiders are 7-0. St. Teresa clinched a playoff spot last night. Shelbyville beat Macon Meridian 37-21. And Tuscola gets playoff eligible. They beat Warrensburg Latham 40-7. Well, last night in the South Central Conference, big time game as Gillespie traveled down to Roxana. It was essentially a playoff game, and Roxana clipped the Miners 30-16. And joining us on the phone right now is Gillespie head coach Jacob Vilbrook. And good morning, coach.
Morning, guys.
Well, that was a tough one for you last night. I know it was tied at 16, and then Roxanna ends up pulling away, but just kind of your thoughts. What did you like about your team's performance, and what made you kind of rethink some things on the bus ride home?
Well, I think we did a good job of making an answer when things didn't necessarily go our way. We took the lead on a field goal, but they came down and scored. And I know that, you know, last week that, we were beating Carville at halftime, and then they kind of came out and scored right away. And the look of our team just changed. You know, I felt it on the sideline and saw it. I told the kids last night, I was pretty proud with the response. We came back a couple times to tie the game last night, and that's what I'm most proud of, is just the response.
And you know, that shows character of a team when you have a tough loss the week before, then you go on the road in a game like that and you can respond. That really does speak highly of the character of your club.
Yeah, I thought we did a lot of things right. Gave a couple big plays. And that was the ultimate difference in the ball game. You talk about the character of the kids. I think that they rebounded nicely from the week before. I mean, everybody, was, including the coaching staff, was pretty down in the dumps after losing the homecoming game. We've essentially been playing playoff games the last couple weeks here. So, we got two big ones left and two chances to get to, five wins. And we're going to do everything we can to make it happen.
And you got both these games at home, Greenville next week, Staunton the following week. But right now, you are in playoff mode because with Greenville coming in, got to win.
Yeah, same situation we were in last year, right? I mean, we found ourselves at 3-4 after week 7 last year. And it's elimination time. So we got to buckle down. We got to get back at it and, fix some of the mistakes that we made, and we're going to try to do everything we can to make that happen.
I don't know. I mean, every year is different, especially in high school sports. You can't just say, well, this happened last year against Team X, so we can maybe anticipate that's what will happen this year against that team. But a year ago against Greenville, you guys were down, fought back, and almost pulled it out. So at least from the kids' mentality perspective, they know they can play with this team.
Yeah, it's going to be a character week building, thing for sure. Cause I mean, I thought we answered after losing a really tight ball game that all of us really wanted, the homecoming week, the week before. And then, we fought, and Roxanne is a really good team, man. I tell you what. We came back and tied it a couple times. It was their senior night. Roxanne's playing a little fired up, and, like I said, a couple big plays are the big difference in the game, and they caught us on a couple. I think we're just going to spend a lot of time, getting the kids' mindset in the place where, you got to play with that sense of urgency right away. You can't wait for the second quarter, can't wait for the third quarter, can't wait for the fourth quarter and say, oh, yeah, we can play with this team. We got to have that sense of urgency right now. And carry it through the week of practice and then start off the game with it Friday night and see where we go.
How are you guys health-wise? Because you've played three straight weeks of very physical football.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to knock on some wood because we are we're as healthy as we can be. We don't have any real injuries. We had a couple guys, dinged up last night. Nothing serious. I don't think. We'll reevaluate Monday. But we're about as healthy as any team I've seen at this point in week 7 since I've been around. So that's good.
That's very good, Jake Bilbrook. Thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot for the coverage. Thank you,
Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. So you heard him say it. They're in the same spot they were last year, 3-4. Through 7 weeks, and gots to win your last two to get yourself into the postseason. So that will be an interesting game next week as the Greenville Comets come a-calling to Don Duke DeBrino Field in Gillespie. A couple more scores to pass along for you. In the Cahokia Conference, Columbia beat Bree Central 56-18. The Eagles now 7-0. Bree Central falls to 3-4. Freeburg beat Westland 42-0. And Salem over Carlisle 59-10. With that win, Salem becomes playoff eligible. And in the Southwestern Conference, it was Edwardsville over Belleville West 40-14. The Tigers are now playoff eligible. And the Belleville East beat Alton by the final of 24-21. Few games still to go in Week 7 in the Prairie State today. DuPo will travel to Marquette. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Marquette is 3-3 overall, but 3-0 in the Prairie State. DuPo 1-5 on the year. In the Southwestern Conference, East St. Louis, a top-ranked team in 5A. They will be at O'Fallon. That's a 1 o'clock kick. And in 8-man, three games today. Milford's at Pawnee, Washburn Low Point at Bunker Hill, Cuba North Fulton at Metro East Lutheran. All three of those games will kick at 1 o'clock. And East St. Louis playing today. And 89 Blocks was on again earlier this week on FS 2, 1, 3, I don't know. But that is a heck of a documentary. If you haven't seen 89 Blocks, recommended viewing it.
I still haven't seen it.
Follows the East St. Louis football team from a couple of years ago. They wind up winning the state championship. But it's just an amazing, it's a human interest story, really, to see what those kids go through on a daily basis and how football helps shape and mold them. It's fascinating. 89 Blocks, I would
recommend. It's so close to home, too. It's not that far.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I would recommend checking that out. And 89 Blocks, there's 89 Blocks in East St. Louis.
Is there?
That's
okay.
That's where the name of the film comes. But it's an interesting piece, to say the least. So East St. Louis in action today, taking on O'Fallon. Sports Saturday for you here on FM 106. We got Fighting Illini football coming up 10 o'clock this morning from the Big House in Ann Arbor, taking on the Michigan Wolverines. 10 o'clock pregame on the Ox, and then game two of the NLCS this afternoon. 2:13 pregame on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And maybe the Cardinals will get a hit before the eighth inning.
Maybe
today
they have one hit in their last 14 innings.
See, they got a hit in the fourth inning of game five.
Yep.
Against Atlanta, and then didn't get hit the rest of that game, and obviously didn't get hit until there were two outs in the eighth last night. Hard to win when you don't get a hit.
That's right.
It can be done, theoretically.
It has happened.
I guess, but I mean, whew, boy.
I believe, I think Jared Weaver a few years ago threw a no-hitter and lost to the Dodgers 1-0.
That's brutal.
Yep.
That's brutal. How do you even look at your teammates that are play offense?
You don't.
After that game, like, get away from me.
I'm going home.
You
guys
go away.
Stay here.
I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about this new football proposal. Now, this was, I believe it officially got passed on to the IHSA yesterday. And, of course, if you remember last winter, the district proposal passed. And as soon as it passed, a lot of people were just up in arms, world's coming to an end. How can this be? And the biggest issue, it seems to me, is that, you know, with the conferences going away in football, people don't like that. They did not like that one bit. And so you hear people now talk about, well, the travel's too much, these types of things. It all, to me, comes back to they don't like the idea that the conferences have gone away. So this new proposal, which was submitted on behalf of 28 different schools, would drastically change things. Now, if you remember, with the districts, the best part of that new format, which is set to take effect in 2021, is the playoffs didn't change.
Yeah.
The playoffs stayed the same with the district format. So you're talking 256 teams, 32 teams in each class, boom. And it would be the top two teams in each district would automatically qualify.
Let me hear the facts before I analyze this. Lay out what's happening with the new proposal.
With the new proposal, teams with a 3-6 record or better would now qualify for the playoffs. So whereas now 5-4 you're in, 4-5 you're out, no matter what, unless you happen to win a conference at 4-5, which we have seen. Under this new proposal, teams with a 3-6 record and a 4-5 record would be in the playoffs. So as a result of that, the playoff field would increase from 32 teams per class to 48 teams per class. So you're now talking about 348 total teams in the playoffs opposed to the 256 that are in now. Now, as a result of that, we're looking at an 8-week regular season if this proposal were to become the new way it's done. 8-week regular season. Week 9 would then be available for playoff qualifiers and non-playoff qualifiers. Now, the thinking, apparently, is this would take pressure off of the schools to win 5 regular season games. Now, the elimination of the conferences and the traditional rivalry games under the district, that would obviously stay in place with this new proposal. So, David, my biggest issue with this is they're messing with something that doesn't need to be messed with. You know, Terry always talked about the state basketball tournament being the crown jewel of the IHSA, and it absolutely is. But when they went to 4 classes and changed that around, that changed the state basketball tournament. It's not the same now, and you would be hard-pressed to convince me that it's a better state tournament with 4 classes than it was with 2 classes. The football format, as it has been constituted here now for a long number of years, to me, is perfect. The beauty of the 9-week regular season is you have to earn your way into the playoffs. It's the only IHSA sport where every team doesn't make the postseason. You have to earn your way. And with this, while you would still technically have to earn your way by winning 3 games, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I think you use the term garbage. I'll say hot garbage. Because
superlatives.
So, the conferences staying, that seems, you know, people can hide behind the guise of they're concerned about travel. That's nothing to me. Because when you saw all this conference jumping the last number of years, we saw teams traveling long distances to play conference games. And I'm not concerned about travel and football. And I understand the cost element of it. But football is expensive anyway. To me, where travel in high school sports is an actual problem is for the sports that play on school nights.
Right.
You know, football, Friday night or Saturday afternoon, I'm sorry, there's no school is being affected. You know, if you've got basketball teams, volleyball teams, soccer teams traveling 2-3 hours to play a game on a Tuesday, that's a problem.
And that's happening with some schools because of the conference realignment, because of football. I mean, you look at what the, and it's not applicable so much today, but what the Apollo Conference used to be. Lincoln was in the Apollo Conference. Actually, they might still be.
They are.
I think for 1 year, Salem was also in there. So you had a massive geographical difference between conference teams. I mean, come on. That's like a 2-3 hour drive for a regular season game.
When you're talking about, I mean, think about what the college bowl system did a few years ago, where they got so many bowl games, they had to have teams under 500 to fill some of these bowl spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see teams under 500 in the playoffs.
Right. What, you can answer this better. What was the reason for the districts? What was the primary reason for instituting the districts?
The primary reason, as I understood it, was to prevent the conference jumping and teams moving conferences just to try to get to 5 wins to get into the playoffs.
Okay, how does this new proposal fix that? That's what I want to know. Because it seems like the people who proposed this, who submitted this new proposal, completely missed that point of the conference realignment. Am I wrong?
Not technically. I think because with teams being allowed to get in with a losing record, that theoretically would eliminate the race to 5 wins. But the problem is, in doing that, you are fundamentally changing everything. And I'm not personally as caught up on the conferences as a lot of people seem to be. That really seems to be the sticking point. The notion of conferences going away really rubs people the wrong way. You have people talking like every game they play is a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That's just not the case. Now, for certain schools, like you think about Carlinville, there's a lot of schools in the South Central that consider Carlinville their rival. But I hate to tell you, Carlinville doesn't consider all of them their rival. You know, everybody in the CS8 likes their crack at Rochester, likes their crack at Griffin. But Rochester has one rival.
Yeah.
It's Griffin. Yeah. Maybe Glenwood. You could maybe make that case here the last few years. So the notion that by getting rid of the conferences that all of these great rivalries are just going to go away, it doesn't hold water for me, because remember, in the districts, there would either, depending on how big your district was, you're going to have at least one, maybe two non-district games in which you are free to schedule anybody you want. So you can schedule
your rivalry game
yeah. in those slots. Now, would they have the same meaning, standings, blah, blah, blah? Maybe not. But rivalry games aren't about standings. What right. do we? Every rivalry game, you always say, toss the record out. It doesn't matter. It's about bragging rights, essentially. And, you know, they talk about the people who are so anti-district. Oh, the travel. The travel is just too much. And they're only factoring in geography and enrollment. What else is there?
You can, and people won't like this, you can play football on a Saturday. You have that option.
It happens
now. Yeah, to get around the travel. If it's too far, you can play it on a Saturday. Whereas with some of the current conference realignments, like the Sangamo, for example, with Maroa Forsyth, I mean, it was a good addition to the Sangamo because of the for football, because of the competitive balance. It's got to be difficult for the other sports, though, because Maroa Forsyth is not really in the same area geographically.
True. To me, though, the better case there is Pittsfield.
Right, yeah.
You know, Pittsfield is in the Sangamo Conference. They're close to no one.
Yeah.
You know, so the geography thing, I understand it. There's going to be teams, if the districts go through, they're going to have to travel.
But you can play on a Saturday.
You can play, and it's not every week.
Yeah.
You're talking about one or two games a year.
Right.
And people will go to the games.
Right.
Fans will travel to go watch these games.
Especially if it's on a Saturday.
When you play, that's why football has always kind of swallowed everything else up, whether it's high school, college, or even pros. You play one game a week. It's a limited number of games, and you know in high school, 9 weeks out of the year, on Friday night or Saturday afternoon, we've got one game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like we've got three games this week, and oh man, one of these games, we got to travel 3 hours. You know, that's why I don't concern myself so much with the travel aspect from the fan perspective. Now, if you want to talk about cost of traveling, that's a legitimate concern, and that is something that can be addressed and worked on. You know, and that you can't argue the fact that, I mean, it costs money to travel. There's no way around that. I'm not sitting here saying that that's not the case, because it is. But for that to be the determining factor in making a decision like this, to me, is short-sighted. Because you've got that going on now. And look at the eight-man football season this year. Pawnee and Bunker Hill, they are traveling a lot further than any team will travel when districts come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that when they signed up to play eight-man football. But guess what they did?
Still signed up.
They signed up to play eight-man football knowing they were going to travel. Three. I mean, we've had Bunker Hill and Pawnee, they're going up by Rockford.
Yeah.
To play games.
Right.
You know? And they decided to do it because it's football.
Right.
And guess what? Their fans are still going.
Yeah.
People are still showing up. The enthusiasm is still there. And so that's why I am, I guess, pro-district, if you want to say. I'm in the minority on that. But how does the proposal pass? You know, like, it's one of those things. Everybody you talk to, I hate it. How did it pass?
There are a lot of schools that liked it.
A lot of schools liked it. And you'll be like, well, schools don't even have football voted for it. Okay. Fine. But the reality is, more schools voted for it than voted against it. And it hasn't even gone into effect yet. We don't know how it will work.
Right.
You know, and the conferences themselves have always changed. You know, I mean, you go back 30 years, the conferences aren't what they were today. Schools consolidate. Schools move around and shift. Rivalries change. Things change. Different does not always mean worse. And it doesn't always mean better. But for this proposal to come out, this current one, to me, with all due respect, is a farce.
It is.
It's a farce. I don't want the playoffs changing. And maybe that makes me an old man. Fine. Get off my lawn with your new playoff format. I don't want it. That was my big, why I'm a big fan of the districts.
Yeah.
For no other reason, the playoffs stay the same, and you know what class you're going to be all year long. We were talking earlier this morning, David, about certain schools. Well, what class are they going to be? Who the heck knows? We won't know until 2 weeks from today when the pairings are released. But we know when districts come in at the start of the year, you will be 2A. You will
right.
be 3A. You will be 1A. And that will be set in stone. There will be no changing. I don't want to see an 8-week regular season, and I don't want to see teams with losing records in the playoffs playing each other with a chance. You know, I don't know this for certain, but it has to me the feeling of like when the NCAA tournament expanded and they got their play-in games, and they call that, you know, that's the first round, or it's now the opening round. No, it's not. It's a play-in game mm-hmm. to get into the bracket. I don't need play-in games.
No.
That's why you have the regular season.
Right.
You know, that's the beauty of the regular season. Whether it's a race to 5 or not, the point of the high school regular football season is to make the playoffs. And to make the playoffs, you have to win more games than you lose. If you're going to do this, just let them all in.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
You know? Just let everybody in.
It says it'll increase the playoff field from 256 to 348. How many member schools are there for football?
Yeah, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot. But and obviously,
are you going to have more teams making the playoffs now than missing the playoffs? I don't know if you have that now, to be honest. But
and obviously, I say that tongue in cheek because with the nature of the game of football, you can't have every team in the playoffs because just the nature of the game, only playing once a week, there wouldn't be enough time to do it. But This is how things like that start.
Right.
3-6. Well, why not 2-7?
They'll cut it back to 7.
Why not?
7 regular season games.
And I guess it would be 3-5 if there's only 8 regular games. But
yeah.
But still, why not? You know, if you're going to say 3 gets you in, why not 2, and then why not 1? And then, well, hey, you know, the team that won 0, they tried really hard. They deserve to be in the playoffs.
You won your game for the year. Woo.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if this has any legs at all, but that's the current situation, and we'll see what happens. We need to get to a break. We're back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and the Macoupin County Volleyball Tournament is underway. It's at Carthenville, being hosted by North Mac, but the games are being played at Carthenville in the high school gymnasium and the middle school gym, and that's one of the great things about Carthenville with those gyms being connected. When they host events like this, you don't have to go outside. It's just a short walk down the hallway. It makes for a very, very nice situation, and it looks like early North Mac has beaten Gillespie and Carthenville has beaten Mount Olive. Those were the opening games in pool play, and North Mac has beaten Mount Olive and Staunton has beaten Southwestern. So those games are complete. Coming up next, it'll be Bunker Hill and Southwestern. That'll be in the high school gym. Carthenville will face Gillespie in the middle school gym. Staunton takes on Bunker Hill at 11 in the high school gym. Middle school gym has Gillespie taking on Mount Olive. Then at noon, Carthenville against North Mac in the middle school gym. The fifth place match scheduled for noon in the high school gym championship at 1 o'clock today in the high school gymnasium. And Staunton's the one. Carthenville's the two, so we'll see if we wind up getting that as the county tournament championship. Of course, Staunton just beat Carthenville a couple of days ago in South Central Conference play. So the Macoupin County Volleyball Tournament going on right now at Carthenville, being hosted by North Mac. Now, the volleyball schedule has now been released as postseason play set to begin on October the 28th. And, of course, we'll have lots of time to discuss that here as the season and winds down with regular season play, then get in to postseason play. But that will be fun to watch. We'll see how deep Staunton can go. Of course, they got into the sectional a year ago. Carletonville could potentially be primed for a deep run as well. And, of course, Pleasant Plains will try to defend their 2A state championship. Let's turn our attention back to the football field. The North Mac head coach, Pat Bowman, good enough to join us on Sports Saturday this morning. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, you got the win last night, 36-14 over Plains. Just talk to us a little bit about the ball game last night, Coach.
We did. It was a nice and muddy field for us, but our kids played hard, and we did end up with the W, and so that's always a good thing.
And I guess I saw a picture earlier this week that the turf field coming along very nice.
It is getting close. Yep, it's very close. The turf should be done next week, and then a couple things around the outside, and we should be ready to go for week 9.
And I'm sure that crossed your mind at some point last night. As you said, the field was a muddy mess. That might be the last time you have to deal with that at home.
It does. We talked about that a lot this week. This was going to be hopefully the last varsity game at North Mac on natural grass at home. So it was the last one on this field, and we wanted to make sure we did it the right way, and the kids did.
Yes, they did. And you pick up your fourth win on the year. And, Coach, you are in a good, real good spot now to get yourself playoff eligible.
We are. We've got two conferences coming up. We've definitely, our goal, obviously, from the start of the year's playoff, like every other team, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, we're good. Anytime we can get that win and get number 4, that's just one game closer. So,
Coach, is there anything about this year's team that has surprised you?
Biggest surprise is the number of injuries we've had. Believe it or not.
And that
at one point we had 6 or 7 starters that were out. So
that has to be frustrating from your perspective, because that. You know, football coaches, they like to control things. But you can't control everything, and injuries is the main thing that you just can't control.
That's right, yep. We've been losing a couple kids a week, it seemed like. We've got a couple that are healing up now, so hopefully here towards the week 8, week 9, if we can get to the playoffs, maybe we'll get a couple of them back and make us even stronger.
On the field, what are a couple of the things that the Panthers need to clean up here the last 2 weeks of the year?
We talk every day to just get better at everything. We practice blocking and tackling every day. So I always tell the kids, don't ever be satisfied, and always, no matter if it's football or anything else, always continue to get better and don't ever be satisfied. So we actually take everything and work on every single detail every day.
I remember Don Borgini told me years ago, blocking and tackling, it's a simple game. If you don't do those two things well, nothing else matters.
That's exactly right, and he knows. That's right.
And from, you know, when you mentioned dealing with injuries, from a practice perspective, that can make working on blocking and tackling a bit of a challenge in practice.
It does. We actually, this week, actually went with no coach one day because we had so many guys banged up and just did some just going on technique and slowing things down and work on hand placement, foot placement, things like that, just because we are so banged up.
Pat Bowman, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Pat Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, coming off of a 36-14 win last week, or last night, I should say, over Pleasant Plains. And they will be at Athens next week. That's a toughie. And then home to Riverton. And, again, you heard Coach Bowman say it. That game will be on the turf, and it could be win and you're in the playoffs. So that will be a fun night in Verdon, week 9, on the turf, finally. With the picture I saw, it looked wonderful. It looked just as good and as glorious as you would want it to possibly look, with that Carolina blue just popping right there on in the end zones and down the sidelines. And, you know, when you have a game like you did last night with the weather and the sloppy conditions, as Patrick said, they were talking about hopefully that's the last time they're going to have to deal with
that. Is it a
blue
turf?
No, the turf is green, but they got the blue in the end zones, and they've got, you know, like how the Rose Bowl has the colors down the sidelines?
Yeah.
They've got that.
Very nice. Yeah. It's only fitting that the last game on the natural grass was a slop fest.
It really is. It really is.
It would have to be.
Yes. And, you know, Carlinville is looking into trying to get turf. We've talked to Don Borgini about that a couple different times, and they're moving in the right direction. Moving in the right direction, still looking for some more funding to really seal the deal for that turf, so to speak. But that, if Carlinville can pull it off, they're going to be sitting pretty, just like North Mac's going to be sitting pretty here coming up in week 9. And I remember when Maura Forsyth put their turf in. Carlinville was over there. Well, I don't even know how many years ago this would have been. Went over there for a playoff game, and it was slop. They had straw bales like we were bedding cattle, like down along the sidelines trying to mop up the moisture. And that was a sloppy mess that night. And I don't have any idea if that kind of spurred Maura Forsyth to go the direction of turf. But when you go over there now and see that
field, nice field,
oh, it's just wonderful. And, you know, Don Borgini has talked to me about, with turf, it's a community field now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the soccer team can play on it. The PE classes can go out there and use the field. You know, baseball and softball teams could practice out there in the springtime. And obviously the football will be able to use it. That'll be, you know, the big focus. That is what will get a lot of the attention and the headlines of the football. But this is a community deal, whereas now, I mean, think about like these grass fields. People say, oh, the cost, it's just too much for this turf. You think a grass field is free?
Right.
You know, think about the annual cost and maintenance that goes in to a grass field. And because of that, if you're not a football player, you're not allowed on it.
Right.
Stay off the grass.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, because obviously you have to, you know, seed and mow the grass field, and you have to paint it as well. I don't know how it works with painting a artificial field, or if it comes pre-colored or whatnot, how that works.
I don't know how, if it comes pre-colored, I would think they paint it after it's down.
Yeah, okay. I just don't know anything about
the
it.
The picture I saw of the North Mac field, they had everything laid out, but all the numbers weren't put into position yet.
Okay.
So.
Probably so you could use it for, like, soccer and stuff. If you don't want numbers on the field.
I don't think they take the number. I don't think they would take the numbers off. I think once they're down, they're down.
Oh, okay.
I would presume. That's just an assumption.
Probably.
We know what happens when we assume, though.
Risk of sounding like a fool, I'll just bow out.
What? Come on.
I've already made enough of a fool of myself.
Where's the fun in that?
Well, I know nothing about artificial surfaces, so.
But that is the big advantage to the artificial turf, is big cost at first, but then you don't have those annual costs to get a field ready for play. You don't have to worry about sloppy conditions. But the big thing, as Don Borgini said, it's a community field.
What's the lifespan for those?
I think it's anywhere from 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
Right around there. And you worry about that later.
Yeah. We'll replace it in 10 years.
That's right. Don't look too far down the road. It's like when you're worried about, like, if you hold your starter back. Well, we want to save this pitcher for game 5. Oh, we got swept.
Kind of burned the Braves by starting their ace in game 3. I know they did it for home road splits reasons, but, man, sure could have used him in game 5.
You probably wouldn't have given up 10 runs in the first inning.
No, probably not.
Most likely not. We'll see what happens today down at Busch Stadium. Of course, game 2. Of the NLCS, scheduled for pregame coverage at 2:13 today on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And you can't use the term must win because it's only game 2 of a best of 7 series, but it would sure be useful if the Cardinals could win today.
Scherzer,
useful.
Strasburg, Corbin, the next 3 games. You got to win one of them because you don't want to go into game 4 down 3-0.
You do not. You do not. So 2:13 today, pregame, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Fighting Illini football coming here at the top of the hour from the Big House in Ann Arbor, Illinois, and Michigan today on 105.3 The Ox. Thank to our coaches for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Our ball games from last night, Hillsboro, Carlinville, Staunton, Greenville, available in podcast right now at WQSMIRadio.com. Next week, Litchfield at Hillsboro, Nokomis at Wood River. Those will be our broadcast features here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.